discussion items. I had thought about making this an action item, but Lucas and I had a conversation about 4:30 tonight. I had sent to you via email today the... But
I thought we signed a blank piece of paper. You put it face down. Like,
no, I have. There is a method to this madness. Okay.
Okay.
I received. Of course, we didn't. For us, because of the bargaining agreement, yesterday was a holiday for Barton Village, so we did not work. Therefore, I got an email. We did work, but not in the office. Anyway. At 3:51 yesterday afternoon, I got an email from Stan Welch, who is the engineer that we have consulted with Jeff Hoffer regarding the blending of our well project. He sent us, and I forwarded it to you today because I didn't get it till this morning, an email with a packet of information for... an engineering services agreement for our project. So basically it would include Jeffrey Hoffer doing the pump testing and sampling of the well, inspecting the treatment plant and source areas, compiling a source report and a preliminary engineering report for recommended improvements at the water treatment facility. So the way I understand it, and Lucas and I had a conversation about it around 4:30 tonight, as I said earlier, the preliminary engineering report is a requirement for us to be able to apply for funding through either the USDA Rural Development Loan or grants, or for the drinking water DWSRF loan programs. Lucas was a bit concerned because he looked at those numbers and he was like, whoa, we just want to blend the well water. Why do we need to spend this much money? And if it's just to have an engineer put their stamp on it, do we really want to go this route? So, you know, he was really not comfortable and he was like, I don't want you guys approving anything tonight until we look into this more. And I said, no, Lucas, you're absolutely right. I'm not looking for approval tonight. I just wanted to present this to them to look at. In the next 2 weeks before our next meeting, I'm going to be following up with, I think her name is Soleil through the state of Vermont drinking water program. She was at our site visit. It's my understanding she's like the supervisor or director of that department, to say, is this absolutely necessary? Or I want somebody from the state to say to us, you absolutely can or you absolutely cannot blend, whether it's 5%, 25%, 50% of your well water with your water drinking source.
I thought we already had that okayed.
We have not.
I thought somebody said it was
okay. They came and they did a site visit. We're still waiting on the well report about whether or not it's feasible and can be used. Because of the high uranium levels, the possibility was that we wouldn't even be able to blend even a very low percent. Then there's also the possibility that we could blend, but we'd have to treat it. And treating it sounds like a nightmare, but in all actuality, I asked this gentleman, Stan, what that would require, and he said it's basically putting it through a water softener. So before we take this big step and we sign this preliminary engineer's agreement, I want more conversation with the state to say, is this even feasible? Can this be done? Should we still do this step so then we can get into the appropriate funding groups for submitting applications, which I think is what is needed. But Lucas was like, I think it came in at $75,000.
It's $130,000. For all the steps, right?
Right. And a lot of it you have to put... So the way Stan explained it to us when we had the site visit back in, I think it was beginning of September, was that, you know, you need to list what you would like to do and how you would like to improve your facility. to be able to go into the application process for whether it be grant funding or 0% interest loans. I just wanted to share this with you and ask, or just say that within the next 2 weeks, I'm hoping to find out more information about next steps. Is this necessary? Should we do this? What is this going to mean dollar-wise? When ultimately we're just looking to see, can we blend the well water with our ground surface water to eliminate our BOD levels?
See, I guess I misled earlier on because I was under the assumption this part was already completed and all we was doing was starting to get ready to figure out after he did the dredging. I thought we was just going to start looking into the financial part of it. And
we still have to get the approval from the state. I thought that
it was okayed because the board previous to us that drilled the well, I thought, did it, and they said they couldn't. So then we reopened.
They
didn't pursue it because they, from the understanding and conversations I had with Jeff, is that they just nixed it because it was going to cost, they were afraid it was going to cost too much to treat it so that they could do it. So they didn't investigate or go any further. They just capped the well and said, done.
And also I thought that by mixing it, it was going to save us chemicals.
It could, but the state, so you have to get a permit from the state, and so in order to do that, you have to go through all this testing, and then I think you have to get the engineer stamp on it.
Oh, see, I thought that was already done.
No, we haven't contracted with Stan and his company.
I guess
what I think we have to do also is, like, down the road, what are some of the savings possibility? You know, I just hate to go out and spend all this money, and so we're blending it, but it cost us so much that at the end of the day we would have been just better off just using the surface water.
I think it's good for us to pursue it and until we're told it's going to cost you $300,000. You know what I mean?
Well,
because
the concern here
is we've had a drought. We've had water issues this summer because of the drought. And the question on the table is, how long is ground surface water going to be feasible for municipalities to use? And so it has been recommended that you look at other alternatives because who knows what next year is going to bring.
Well, and like you were saying about the drought, and I was just going to bring that up too, you go up May Pond.
It dropped a lot.
Well, it dropped a lot, and it really isn't that appealing to the eye.
It never has been.
No, but it's way worse. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's our drinking source. And if we don't protect our drinking source, no matter what, I mean, for $130,000 or whatever, that might help us out. Because if we have another dry year next year, if May Pond gets hit even harder,
absolutely,
we're going to run into a real water problem, and then that price will triple by then.
Yeah, so there's a lot of what ifs and a lot of unknowns.
Right.
So I told Lucas that I was going to start by contacting Soleil through the state of Vermont to just say, can we have a conversation over the phone to help me understand what's best next steps? You know, you were there doing the testing with Ray, which is a chemist through the state of Vermont, and he and Lucas, I think I said to you before, maybe you were still out, but it was phenomenal to watch the two of them communicate and bounce ideas and, well, have you tried this? Yes, I have. And how about you try that? Oh, that's a good idea. It was kind of fun to watch. But I haven't really had any feedback from the state since then. It's just been about, here's your pictures of the well, and now I'm getting this service agreement for the engineer. But ultimately, I want to know, what can we do? What can't we do?
So,
and what is it going to cost us?
It would be a little bit interesting to find out with the well water, could we go 100% well water with the softener type of thing? Would that
And eliminate even Maypond at Pad B.
Right.
I heard at one time it was pumping like 100-something gallons a minute.
It was at one point, but so that's part of the pump testing that needs to be done. So when Jeff Hoffner, I don't have it in front of me, but he originally was the hydrologist that worked with the previous trustees that worked with me on this well. And when they do the pump testing, what they do is they're draining the well, and then they're seeing how long it takes to fill up.
Right.
And when they did that, it wasn't 100 gallons a minute as what we thought, so they stopped. One of the thoughts when we had the site visit, Jeff said was, by doing the pump testing, we're going to know exactly what the volume is and the replacement volume. But also, the thought was, is if you pump out all the water and it fills in, your uranium levels will decrease. They said, not likely, but it's a possibility. So until we do that, we won't know. So I'm just wondering if that's the next step we absolutely have to do, which requires us to do this with the engineering company. I don't know. So I think I need to have a conversation with Jeff. I need to have a conversation with Stan. I need to have a conversation with the state of Vermont. So I'm hoping in 2 weeks that I'll have more info for you, but I wanted to just get this out to you because I received it yesterday. Sound good?
Sounds perfect. Good.
Okay. God, my homework list is getting longer.
I have a to-do list for you, yeah.
Great. Department operation updates. I'm going to try to be really quick. I included in your packet, I'll skip right down to the hydro plant. So we had a site visit with Dubois and King, Fairbanks Mill, Dennis Fortin, and myself on October 8th, last Wednesday. This was the field report that I received from Dubois and King. I believe he sent it yesterday morning as well. This is just an update of what has been done there. And then there's some pictures that Morgan took. Morgan's with Dubois and King of the facility. So I also have colored pictures on my phone. It's quite something to see. So you'll see... Penstock 1 is done, backfilling is complete. Penstock 2 has been completely demolished. The WIPS head gate is in place. The metal stairway has been installed, and let me tell you, I went down it, I went up it, and I said, never again. And do you want to know why?
Slippery?
Not slippery. You can see through them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like heights. So when I went down on the wooden stairs, it wasn't really an issue because I was looking at wood underneath me.
What?
Not these stairs. And I am not kidding you, Sheila. Don't look at me like I've got two heads. I was halfway down and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And then I got down there and I'm looking at them and I'm like, I have to go up these.
Yeah, but up ought to be easier. You'd be looking up.
I wasn't looking up because I was looking down. I didn't want to trip on the stairs.
You could have jumped in the water.
Yeah.
No.
Down below.
It could have been better than them putting that lagoon and being in a boat out in the
Yeah, very true. Right. Very true. But anyway, so I said to them, that was probably my last trip down there. So it was really bad. Anyway, so there's some pictures of that, and so forth. So
are we on schedule?
We are behind a little bit. So, and I reported that out to BEPSA. It's also on our, discovery too for PUC questions that we had to answer. We are now looking at, so the reason we're behind is because the, drawings, there's been a delay with getting the drawings of the replacement penstock. We have, I believe, since gotten them, but that puts us back a little bit. So we are looking at beginning to middle of December instead of November.
Why was there no gallons? They should have had gallons.
So there was an issue with the recloser. So I think a couple of weeks ago when they took the recloser out, if you look at
the thing where they went in the lab,
where it goes into the building, this right here. So you can see where... they cut this out.
Yeah.
This recloser part, so from, oh, I don't know how much length of it. But anyway, let's just say here's your penstock. And then from here to the building was this much buried underground, which is called the recloser, that went into.
Yeah, didn't they have one of those sitting there from the old one sitting there?
No.
When they cut it out?
Well, when they cut it out, so when they unburied it, they realized, oh, there's a recloser there, and it's a different size than the actual head gate.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the engineers did not pick that up, and so it put us behind a little bit.
Because they had it sitting over here, and it was tapered.
Yes, because you've been up to the...
Yeah,
yes.
I went
and saw it. So, and then when they took that out, I mean, again, I think this was a couple of weeks ago, there was an email when they took it out that there were 3 pinholes in it, so it was very evident. It was time to replace this.
Yeah, it was thin wall.
That went into the building, so if that had let go, our building would have been gone.
I'm pretty impressed they got a backhoe over here in this picture right there. That's out down into the river on here.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's not too bad.
Is it?
So they've been digging it out. My phone pictures will show it much better because I've got it. It's not too bad because it's not a quite as
big drop. Well, because I know as closer you come to the building, the more.
Yeah. So, so it was really exciting when I was up there. So that's where we are with the Hydro project. Like I said, unfortunately, we are a little bit behind due to the shop drawings of the penstock.
Now, is the oh God, I can't even think of the words here. This area right here with the fence around it, the transform. That.
Transformer.
Yeah. See, I'm good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For right now.
Right here.
Yeah, I know.
The electric part of it. It starts with a T. Oh my God, Chipper.
Why did I draw a blank on that?
So right now,
it's not the transfer station.
No.
Well, it's. They have them, and they got the gates around. I mean, the fence around them. Ah, what the heck? Them things called it. Engine or transfer station? Well, I know.
No, it's the. Anyway, the big enclosed area where the power is going.
Yes. Well, the fence, they got it fenced off. Yes. That was part of this project, correct?
It was, and we were having a hard time. There was a delay in getting the...
Word?
I think it is a transformer.
Anyway, it's nothing's happening. John.
Perfect. Nothing.
Nothing's happening. Dennis did say so. Morgan with D&K did ask that question, and Dennis did say that John got word.
Substation. That's a substation right there, and that's where the power comes down in.
Recloser.
The unit is.
Yeah.
But it's a substation that has a fence around it.
I think he may have gotten word that he can get one maybe from Canada, but I don't know.
But it's... what the heck is that?
For now, we're good.
Yes.
It's...
But that is still part of our project,
it's
right?
It's supposed to be, yes. So, yes.
Transformer?
Well, they're like a transformer, only they're bigger, and they either make power more or less. It's like a transformer, only they're bigger.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of what then.
Do you want me to call John?
Boy, he would love it right about now.
He's in bed now.
Yes,
you
okay, we're moving on.
Yeah.
No, John.
No, that's fine. I just, that's fine.
My watch battery died, but I know John goes to bed.
Yeah, it seems though that was a comment made here once.
Okay.
John does go to bed.
So that covers the Hydro. For electric, we are ongoing poll and AMI project work continues. DCUs are being installed by our team with Orleans Electric. Regarding the rate increase, I answered some questions on the second round of discovery questions with the help of Steve Furnham for Eli Emerson to respond to the PUC before October 23rd, so that's moving along. And then I'm not sure, well, I know Marilyn is aware because John actually brought it to our attention. I'm not sure if you got the email and whatnot. We sent out an email blast regarding an error on the description on the last electric bill. So instead of it saying surcharge for the 5.61% rate increase, El Dorado coded it incorrectly in the background and worded it as a site adjuster description, which was incorrect. But that line is the meant to be for the surcharge of the 5.61 rate increase that we could start charging for usage that was as of August 1st. El Dorado has corrected the problem for next month's billing. So we have asked the office staff to continue to retrieve as many customers' email addresses so that we can add them to El Dorado to the system, because we sent the email blast out to everybody saying, this was an error, this is what it actually means. If you have any questions, call us. And it actually worked because people called us. But I got a report that it wasn't that many. So we would really, I really encourage them to, if you don't see an email address on either their electric account or their water sewer accounts, that we get an email address if they have one and we add it. Because we found it's a really neat way to be able to communicate to our customers. So we're working on that. Office, we are starting to work on budget planning. We are going to meet with each department manager to give us feedback on their budgets. Sheila has begun working on the Glover's water sewer new invoicing method for theirs and ours new budgeting purpose. So this was from a meeting that we had with them, I think, back in July. Mm-hmm. Where we were going to take an average, I think, of 3 years and average it out monthly for the year, and then at the end we would true up. Mm-hmm. So
did it end up being three or was it more? Five?
I think they had mentioned five, but I really don't have five. It can eventually get to five.
Well, maybe that's how it was.
But for now, I think
we're going with three.
Okay.
And I think they were okay with that before we left that meeting. So Sheila has started working on that, and thank you, Marilyn, for sending us some information so we can get that going.
Yeah, I think it's really done. I just don't know what to do with it after I came up, because you came up with the same figures.
Yeah. I think we'll have to incorporate it into our budgeting purposes, but we need to give it to Cindy Epinette for her budgeting to present
it
to her board.
Now, do we as a board need to go and set in and give it to the Glover board?
No, I think we left it that we would just send it to them. She would present it to the board, and then we would go back and forth. If we had to have another meeting, we absolutely can.
Because I was thinking, like, when John was sitting there,
yeah,
when we was talking to him, we was like, yeah, we want to have your input. And
well,
whatever.
I think we were talking a little bit about the contract and also the project, if we do a new sewer plant, what that would have them kind of be
part
of.
Well, I definitely want to keep them
in on it.
Tight,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Water treatment, we just went over at the email from Stan Welch regarding the blending of the well water. Wastewater, so the Solar Bee, which is now being called the Lagoon Revolver, or Rover. Lagoon Rover, was installed in Lagoon number 2 to aid in the aeration. Per Nate, it appears to be doing what they have desired, which was reduce some of their testing levels. It's still too early to tell. Unfortunately, the time of year, we may only get a month, maybe 2 months, depending on the weather, worth of data. We are thinking that we're going to remove it for the winter because what we don't want to have happen is have it freeze and sink like it did in the reservoir years ago. Although it probably wouldn't sink because it's anchored, and I also have pictures on my phone to show you of that that project. But it was kind of neat to see. And thank you to Orleans Electric, who came with a bucket truck, with Barton Village's bucket truck, and lifted it and placed it in the lagoon for us. So it was really a neat project. Everyone was excited. So DPW, all hands are on deck this week, which really is Andy, Lucas, Jeremiah, and Nate when they can, for the annual fall hydrant flushing. Paving on Lincoln Ave has been completed. The two summer temp employees were released on 10/10. Their hard work and dedication were very much appreciated. Andy was very happy with their work and their teamwork, and he was sad to see them go, but he also sent them a very nice text to thank them because their last day he was on vacation. A&R has extended the temporary permit for the in-kind pageant park culvert with a schedule of activities that need to happen. These events are going to be scheduled with Andy and I very soon because I believe we have to have an engineer hired. We need to have a site visit with somebody from the Vermont Rivers Association, the engineer, by December 31st, 2025, to then have a plan by April 1st and then construction completed by October 1st. So I'm working with FEMA on that. Still, they did enter a late emergency damage inventory for the new final replacement culvert project. I had a meeting with FEMA and our Vermont VEM consultant today, and there's still no word on it. There are representatives at the state level that's really pushing and supporting us because apparently we are not the only municipality that's in the same boat. There's many, multiple. And so they're writing a letter of support for all of us to give to FEMA to say, you absolutely need to do this. We replaced it in kind because we had to for the winter weather that was coming. We had issues getting contractors. That's why it happened in November. We will do what's right, but you're going to have to give us time and you're also going to have to give us money because we can't do it on our own. So more to come on that. I have a meeting scheduled with Sheriff Harlow and Lieutenant Wells this Friday the 17th at, I believe it's at 9 a.m., maybe 10 a.m. Just to go, I'm going up there to meet with them to discuss some ongoing traffic issues that I'm hearing from Barton Village residents. Not seeing it quite so much, of course the weather's changing, but the dirt bikes, the ones riding without helmets, popping wheelies, driving through everywhere, haven't really seen them.
So that's dirt bike issue, not four-wheelers.
No, it was dirt bike issues. Kids, younger, I've been given names, don't know for sure, but they didn't even have a license. They were riding without helmets. They had passengers. They were popping wheelies. They were being nuisances. I would like to talk to them about just issues in general to see about, you know, when they're here patrolling. I know Barton Town has a contract with them. I've just gotten some feedback from some residents that they call them, they're, you know, not just them, but the VSP, they're unresponsive or they're late and they're, well, that's not our issue, it's your issue, call the sheriff. And then the sheriff says, well, you know.
I think one kid that may or may not have a motorcycle, he may not have a motorcycle because I think he's selling it because it was too costly to keep it running. So if that was one of the kids, which may or may not be an issue.
Yeah. A lot of the issues are coming from Elm Street.
Yeah.
Elm Street, Park Street.
So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to keep his bike or not, but.
Yeah. Well, and it's a change of seasons,
well,
too.
Well, that but. And the age, hopefully, he'll grow out of that, too.
So anyway, that meeting is coming up this Friday. Also, just a heads up, we, with the government shutdown, we have had no response from USDA Rural Development regarding the salt sand shed grant payment that we should have received on September 26th, but did not. Unfortunately, it left. We were going to pay the contractor, Jeff Morrison Sons, for his portion of what's been submitted for the grant reimbursement. I was told by somebody at Rural Development that the deposit would be in our account on September 26th. It did not hit. Finally reached out to them. I believe it was October 2nd. And guess what? They have been furloughed. There is no response. So that means there is nobody I can talk to. I've called. I've left messages. I've emailed multiple people, and I'm getting auto replies. They're furloughed due to the shutdown. They are not accessible. So we had to get some money to Mr. Morse because he has funded the first portion of the job. And in 2 weeks, the barn itself, the hoop barn, is supposed to be coming in. So I'm really hoping. Whoa! She shut the lights off on us.
Perfect.
I'm really hoping that the shutdown doesn't last for very long.
I thought we already had the hoop barn part.
No, it's been ordered. So we did give Mr. Morse a check this past Friday.
Yep.
And I'm just really hopeful the government shutdown ends soon and we can get some information back from...
Because pretty soon we're going to have to start filling that.
Well, yes. So Andy and I talked about that. And so he's going to contact the person that we only had one bidder for the sand this year for putting it up. So he was going to contact that person to say, yes, we'll go, you know, obviously we're going to go with you. But he doesn't want them to bring it until the barn is installed.
Now, is there going to be a back to that?
No, the previous design did not have one, and the engineer that we have here went with that design, and that is what we have.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I know.
For that kind of money, there should have been a back to it.
Yep.
And I don't know how that got slipped.
It did.
Because that is...
John's even had a conversation with the engineer that's on that took it over because the previous engineer backed out and wouldn't do it for us.
Yeah, but who... I mean... how did it go from having or not having? How did it slip through our fingers?
Well, because the design, I think we just went with the design that was there and it was presented to an engineer and we assumed that what, you know, I don't know construction as far as what should be there, shouldn't be there.
Well,
but
I guess I should have missed it, but I thought I asked if it had a back end on it because I went by and I see there was no back to it. How are they going to plow into it or, you know, or weather getting...
Yeah.
A lot of it.
So I have a picture of
It's going to be a big and dome, but, I mean, usually you can keep it all to the back and keeps a lot of weather up in it. Can't believe that.
Yeah, so this is it.
Yeah.
And then the hoop barn will just go around it.
And the hoop barn goes over it. There's going to be no back.
Yep. So John did call.
So it's
going to
be big open end on both ends. And I would have, I don't see how I would have never gone along with it if I'd known it was.
Yeah.
Because that don't even make sense to have a building, just a roof, where weather can get to sand and salt.
I don't know.
I don't know how that slipped through our fingers,
and it did.
It bothers me.
Well, and it did, and it did John's too, because John thought I had a back as well. And when he called Tyler and asked him about it, Tyler said, "I didn't engineer it. I just picked up this project for you. This was the previous design, and this is what it went for. Went through."
Huh.
So it's unfortunate. Now, whether or not we can add something to it after the fact, I don't know.
Well, it
obviously,
could be
it's
one
nothing
bill.
We can do. This year, but...
Well, we got blocks on the back of the old one. I mean, it ain't enough, but, I mean...
We could get some.
Something there... I don't know.
So it's not, like, cement that comes up to put your hoop barn on?
Well, there is on the side.
Yeah.
They got them big blocks in there, and they're hitched together. They're big cement blocks, and they're hitched together. And then the hoop barn goes over it like
but
this.
But you wouldn't, like... poured it, like cement to...
Well, it's cheaper to buy it than blocks, and they got them together, which works just as well for what you're doing. But the thing is, you can drive right straight through it. I mean, like the wind and the water blow right through into and keep your sand and salt with moisture, and it'll freeze. And then this winter, when they go to use it,
won't be fine.
It'll be chunks, and yeah. And then you have a hard time keeping it, so
you
can
be
run
able
it through
to
your
order a backing.
I thought when we okayed this program, this building had a back.
Apparently, it does not.
But I mean, as far as them blocks, I think, and I don't know, but I know like Calkins, I don't know how much they cost, but every year, like when they come back with a cement truck, that's how they make a lot of these blocks, is when a truck comes back with some in it, they empty them in these forms, and that's what creates these blocks. And every so many years, they sell off 150 of them or whatever, and you could place them in there to see on the sides, they went up two of them blocks high.
Yeah.
And they got them strapped together, which is fine for the sides, but...
Yeah. Definitely something we can look into. And
you could always build a wooden end, too, which is not a big deal, but it's just the idea, the finance of it is going to be more because now you're adding something. The price of it should have been three-sided, not... But, like I said, I accidentally, I guess, let it slip through the cracks because I wouldn't have probably gone with this style if that's the way it was going to be. It was my understanding, so I guess. I thought that it had a back on.
Well, John did, too. So, anyway.
So I ain't doing one, I guess.
Nope. So. So that's it for the department operation updates. Where did my thing go? Right here. Moving right along. Other business, I do have a couple of things. So regarding the junkyard up on High Street,
I went by there when I left to go to Brownton. Three cars.
There's still three cars.
Which I think you said they could have. Four?
Three. There's only three total, so
they did remove cars. I looked and I was like, because I looked for specifically what I went by. So there's two demo cars and then some other junk.
Yeah,
but
they were
on?
Right on the side of Lincoln Ave.
And
behind the house, there's like five.
There was a pickup there or something, but I think one of them could have been like a race car, like a late model type race car, which...
Yeah.
Well, I would have a hard
time
picking
on somebody.
Yeah.
Because
there had been a pile on Lincoln Avenue, and those are not like they were.
Okay, so then maybe... So Sheila's had a conversation with that homeowner and said, what's your plan? Let's make a plan. Instead of saying we're working on it, I want you to remove one car a week. So we may need to follow up with her and say, so it looks like you removed a car. This week you're going to remove another one, right? We had a conversation with our attorney, Brian Monahan, about it to say, look, we've given her a citation. We've sent it into the Judiciary Bureau. What's the point of issuing tickets to her every day? Because chances are they're not going to pay one ticket. Why would they pay two, three, four, or five? So what is our next step? Because it's not being taken care of. And basically, we do have an option. It would be hiring an attorney to file an action lawsuit against the property owner, and he's happy to do that for us, but it would cost us probably about $2,000 to do so. And basically, what is the outcome of that going to be? There's going to be more fines that probably aren't going to get paid, and the yard's not going to get picked up.
Well, if you keep giving them fines, that don't cost us too much. And then when the fine excesses 2,000, then we look into this guy to go after him, and it's a break-even kind of thing, because whatever money we get would pay for that service.
If we get the 2,000. But if you're saying that one is, it looks like one's been removed, great. Let's call, congratulate her, and say, "What do you this yeah, week? I, you need to
yep,
remove one
I'm
more."
I'm not afraid to talk
but
to Erica.
But the thing that it's going to boil down to is when somebody sticks their head in the sand and says, "Screw us, I ain't doing nothing."
Well, and that
there's
can happen.
No, there, that's like Lorimer. Look at how many years people fought with him
yeah.
to try and clean his property up, and you know.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to talking to them every week.
No,
yeah.
I know, but it's just that, you know, when somebody finally says,
"Oh yeah,
heck with government."
Yeah.
You know, and they put a stand up. I mean, it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely hard.
But,
and you
know, it's hard to tell somebody to do something on their property, though. That I have a hard time.
It's extremely hard, but it's extremely hard to also get the calls from the neighboring properties saying, "My son's bedroom window or my kitchen, my living room window, I'm looking out at this junkyard. When are you going to do anything about it?" And I've explained multiple times, there's a process and we're doing the process, but I wish I could wave a magic wand and make them all go away, but I can't. You know, so while we were talking to the attorney, we said, "What are our options?" And this is what he said. So I just said I would present it to you guys.
I know. It's just, it's hard.
It is. It is from both aspects, you know.
Because one man's junk's another man's treasure.
Absolutely. That would be Mo.
Yeah, and some of my neighbors have some awful nice treasure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Myself included, I got a little bit of treasure, I'm sure.
Who doesn't, though, right? Like, yeah. Anyway. So one last thing under other business, and then we do have a need to go into executive session because I believe we're going to do my 90-day review unless you guys are too tired and you want to do it in the next meeting.
I was just going to hand you the darn envelope and say, "Here you go."
Oh, is it a pink slip?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So the last thing I wanted to add was we received last week a check from the state of Vermont.
Act 27, yeah.
Yeah, Act 27 in the amount of $30,000. And Sheila was like, "What's this check about?" And she's like, "I don't know." I said, "I don't know. I think you checked with Maryland."
Maryland didn't get one, but the town did. But it's with... it's to do with the municipality that's been affected from flooding.
Yep.
So
I did some researching and I found it's called the Big Bill. And so Act 27 is an act relating to making appropriations for the support of government. And so Barton Village was awarded $30,000 because we were impacted by the 2023 and 2024 flooding events. Any monies from these grants shall not be expended on FEMA-related projects. So basically, we have gotten $30,000, and the reason we got $30,000 was because it was broken down by appropriation depending on the damage amount that the municipality suffered. So if they were... at least $5 million. If they're $5 million or more, they got $75,000. If they were between $2 million and $5 million in damage, they received $50,000. Municipalities that had less than $2 million and at least $1 million were awarded $30,000, and that's where Barton Village fell.
So, can we use that towards our COVID, say, for like Pageant Park?
We can, so from the research
that's
that,
been, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we can't. So we can use it on anything that is not related to a FEMA project already.
Oh, that's a FEMA project.
Yep. Yep. So,
yeah, but everything that we put in for was storm related. Wouldn't that be FEMA anyways?
No, not
so
necessarily.
So we can't use it for washed out roads?
No, so basically if it was, so our FEMA projects, other than this culvert project that we're working with the state and
right.
FEMA currently, are taken care of. So the way I see this is we got $30,000 to say, put towards putting the back of the salt sand shed or put towards the remaining grant, the remaining generator you know, or we can
so
say
that money can be used for something besides.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Okay.
Yeah. So we could say, let's put $10,000 into each department. DPW, water, sewer, water.
Oh,
or
right.
We could say, we're going to take that 30, it's just like the ARPA funds.
Yep.
We're going to take that $30,000 and we're going to put it back on the salt sand shed. Or we're going to take $10,000 and we're going to put it towards the generator and not have to only finance X amount of dollars. You know what I mean? So that's something we need to think about, how we want to put that money into our journal or into our general ledger. Right now, you've deposited it.
It's
but
deposited,
it hasn't been
but I haven't
coded,
coded it
because
I didn't know where to code it.
Now, I mean, I don't know how soon we're going to need a new truck. Could it all go towards a new truck?
We could use it for whatever we want as long as it's not a FEMA-related project. And we have to keep track of it. So if we were to get audited or they said, where did you spend this $30,000? We
right.
could prove to them we put it towards a 2025 international or
right.
whatever.
I just... Cool. Very
yeah,
good.
Win-win. I was excited.
Yeah, because that gives you more options to spend it on something else.
Right, yeah. Or, well... The generator, I don't think we needed to borrow money on that.
We didn't? We budgeted enough?
Right.
Okay.
I think in between that and what's in the capital reserve,
we should be all set.
Reserve, I think we should be all set. But we could, if, like I said, there's so many places for
right.
it, but we could put it towards our share of the salt ship, too, and not have to go out and borrow.
The $70,000?
Right.
Oh, is that what we need, is $70,000?
Yeah, we got two grants, leaving a balance of like 74 or something.
Right, but I think there's money, I think there was $20,000 in the budget to put
oh,
onto that.
Yeah.
So that brings it down to 57.
That's the project I was talking about.
And then
there's a generator.
We had nine, I don't know, I have to look at it again. But even if we did that, we wouldn't have much of a payment left for the salt shed to have to borrow. But I don't know, so many places for it.
And like,
do we borrow it? Do we get a quote on how much it would cost to put blocks to put it back on it?
And we can't use it for like our facility in Charleston, our power, our penstock, or any of that. Wouldn't be really worth it. Ain't really
no.
enough to say so.
No. Although Dennis does have a couple of things that, well, one thing is part of the project. It's doing an automation for the gear switch because right now he's manually turning it. But there is some electrical work that he would like to have done that's not part of the project. And I think he said it's going to come in at like $10,000. But he said it's nothing urgent.
And that water treatment plant, there isn't something. Like, I mean, it'd be nice to...
spread it out.
See, I don't know. Like you said, there's a million places for it.
But we only have 30 of them to use.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And it's not
it
a million.
Well, and it don't spread very far, very...
No,
yeah.
It really doesn't.
So I guess it'd take on a little project and try and get it right
or,
out of the way.
You know, maybe we could put in the paving fund, too. Because we're going to be getting some money for that, build that up. I don't know, there's so many places. That
now, how much money did we spend on paving? Do you know off the top of your head?
I haven't gotten the final bill from... Did we get the final bill from Pike?
No,
I don't think we have
okay.
that.
Well,
that was a FEMA.
No,
project.
But I was just wondering what the cost of all that paving cost.
Us. I think it came in at 109, 100 and
that was just for that
Lincoln Ave.
And they went out that side
yep,
street
and
too.
And Pleasant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very
that
nice.
Looked nice. Yes.
I drove over it today. It was very nice.
Yeah, I drove over it actually. I think yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, yeah. So, anywho. That's another idea. Maybe we don't have to make a decision now.
No.
It's just, you know, think about it and maybe send, or we, I don't know. Sheila, what do you want us to do?
Can you just put it in?
Give it to me.
Miscellaneous income.
Give it to me. I'll go to Vegas
now,
and I will
just
try
make sure
and
you
triple
mark what it.
It
is, and we'll go from there.
If not, I definitely have a good time.
Yep.
I'm gonna have to go with you.
That's fine.
We'll just have to keep track of it too, though, and then determine because we'll have to.
Does it have to be spent this year?
No, it's just no.
So.
There's nothing in here that says it has to be that I found.
I don't think this is broke down here on paving on this.
No, I think you'd have to look
yeah.
through here.
Because the idea of this is to address economic impacts from the flooding. So, which I think is very nice.
Yeah.
So that's it all I had. Does anybody else have anything for other business? No?
I don't.
Okay. So before we go into executive session, I just want to remind you and everybody that might be listening to our recording, there's a special board meeting with the Village of Orleans trustees happening in Orleans Monday, October 27th. This is where Ken Nolan from VEPSA will be doing a presentation on a couple of different things, the solar project and what that means for Barton Electric as well as Orleans Electric. Also a public hearing informational meeting regarding the AMI projects, as well as explaining tier one, tier two source of power, you know, the source of power, whether it's solar, net metering, what that all means, because I myself struggle with it. And interestingly enough, sitting on the VEPSA board, other VEPSA board members divulged at the last meeting, they struggle with it too and don't understand understand power supply. And so it's more or less an informational meeting. It's open to the public. But so that's Monday the 27th. It's happening at the MAC building at 6. And then
I think it's the municipal building.
Oh, we're moving it to the municipal?
I don't know. I'll check, but I thought...
Yeah, I'll need to know so when I warn it.
Okay, yeah, I'll let you know tomorrow.
Perfect.
And that's which Monday?
The 27th.
The 27th, in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And then our regular board of trustee meeting is the following night here, the
okay.
28th. We'll hold this separately.
And the 29th will be the outage during the night.
Yep, from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., the planned outage.
I'll probably miss that.
Yeah.
I'm open.
You'll be sleeping.
Hopefully.
I'm hoping that I'm going to miss it too, but so yes.
And your regular next one on is November 11th, which is Veterans Day?
Yes. Do we have an issue with that? I believe we're working. Are we working? We're not working? I don't know. I don't have an issue with meeting if you still... I have no plans.
Me neither, to my knowledge, and whatever you guys come up with, just let me know.
Okay.
Whether you
we'll
do,
keep
whether
it as
you
is
don't.
Then. And if we do financials that night and you can't make it, I can explain them. It's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out. Okay.
Probably be a short night.
Hopefully. Shorter than tonight. Although tonight it's not too bad.
We're under 10.
Yes.
So far.
I'm telling you.
I have no clue.
I have no clue.
My packet was like, ooh. So, anywho. It is 8:55 p.m. Tuesday, October 14th. I am going to make a motion. We go into executive session under personnel 1 VSA State Statute 313A3 for the purpose of completing Gina Lyons' business manager 90-day review.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes.